So first we have our public talk for the week, and the topic of the public talk is Trust the God of All Comfort, and I invite Brother Lance Yoni for giving the talk.
September 11, 2001. What comes to your mind when you hear that date? For those of us that are old enough to remember the tragic events of that day, perhaps it makes you think of where you were or what you were doing when you heard that two planes had crashed into the Twin Towers in New York City. I'm sure that for some of us, just the mention of the date brings back the images that we would have seen on television, perhaps the crumbled ruins, the smoke spewing from the site, and also the frantic help of the volunteers that were looking for any possible survivors. Thousands of innocent people lost their lives that day. So what do you think was the demeanor of the people responsible for the cleanup? Well, groups of elders from a local congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses were given access to the Ground Zero in New York City to talk to and to comfort to the rescue workers. They commented as follows. The men had tears in their eyes as we shared scriptures with them. The men were looking so lost with their heads bowed, just not able to cope with what they had seen. We sat down with them and shared texts from the Bible. The men thanked us so much for coming, saying that they really needed comfort. Another elder said, with appreciation, an Air Force sergeant who was involved with the relief work said, everyone brings food, hot coffee, and dry clothes, but you are the first to read a scripture. We need God at a time like this. From the words expressed by these ministers, it was evident that those rescue workers needed as much comfort as they could get. Well, like those rescue workers, all humans in the world, including all of us here today, in one way or another, are faced with different challenges, aren't we? Sickness, death, family hardships, financial pressures, wars, and wickedness. And many of us are looking for comfort to help us deal with the situations that we are facing. And the need for comfort is not something that affects us here only today, but it has been going on for thousands of years. Let's turn to Romans 8:22 to see what the Apostle Paul, a faithful preacher, wrote to the congregation in Rome under inspiration in 56 CE. Romans 8:22 reads, "For we know that all creation keeps on groaning together and being in pain together until now." So Paul would have understood the need for comfort. He faced many adversaries in his time as a full-time preacher and as a missionary. He was involved in serious shipwrecks where he almost lost his life. He faced imprisonment and many beatings and many other obstacles. So just like Paul, we too need comfort. And some of us may be asking, where can I look for comfort to help me deal with my problems? Well, in today's Bible discussion, we will see how putting our trust in Jehovah, the power of his inspired word, the Bible, his Holy Spirit, and the all-embracing provision of the ransom sacrifice will bring comfort and encouragement to us as we remain firm in these troublesome last days. We can be confident that Jehovah will provide comfort to those that put his trust in him. And Jehovah was able to provide the Apostle Paul with comfort. And one way he did this was through his inspired word, the Bible. Please turn with me to Romans 15 and 4 to see how we can meditate on historical examples, and it can help us to adjust our attitude. Romans 15 and 4 reads, "For all the things that were written beforehand were written for our instruction, so that through our endurance and through the comfort from the scriptures, we might have hope." So Paul, having faced all sorts of hardships in his Christian life, was able to look to the scriptures for comfort and hope. And like Paul, other Bible writers that faced various challenges, they too were able to be comforted by the holy writings, and they were able to be strengthened and upbuilt, and they were able to be comforted through their many trials. And we can also get much comfort from Jesus' teachings while he was here on earth. He comforted those that were mourning, that were sick, and also that were spiritually starving. Let's read together Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, to see the beautiful promise that Jesus made to the crowd that was listening to him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And there we read, "Come to me, all you who are toiling and loaded down, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am mild-tempered and lowly in heart, and you will find refreshment for yourselves. For my yoke is kindly and my load is light." So this was not an empty promise. Jesus' listeners were loaded down by anxiety. Worship of Jehovah had become burdensome for them because of human traditions. And how comforted they must have felt when they heard Jesus' invitation to come to me and I will refresh you. Imagine how weighed down they must have been. They would have been so discouraged that probably they felt they would never be able to meet the high expectations that were set by the Jewish leaders of that day. Yet, here Jesus was inviting them to take his load or yoke. It wasn't heavy. What does the scripture say there? That it was refreshing. It was light and kind. So how reassuring it is for us today to know that Jesus, our King, is ruling in heaven. And soon he will bring permanent relief to all of mankind because of all the suffering we're going through. And Bible prophecy indicates that we are living very deep in the end of these wicked last days. Soon, Jehovah God will bring an end to all the suffering, sickness, sorrow, and death. Let's read this promise together in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. 21:3 reads, "With that, I heard a loud voice from the throne say, 'Look, the tent of God is with mankind, and he will reside with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be any more. The former things have passed away.'" Can we see ourselves there? A life without tears, death, and pain will soon be a reality. But some may be asking, well, where will this be? Is God's promise in heaven? No. Let's consider why not. First, the promise is introduced with the words, "The tent of God is with mankind, and mankind lives here on earth." Second, the promise describes a world where death will be no more, a world where death once existed, but will cease to exist. Well, death has never existed in heaven, but it has a long existence here on earth. So clearly then, God's promise for better life will be fulfilled right here on the earth. Can we see ourselves welcoming back our loved ones that have died? No one will grow old. We won't lose loved ones to death. No more suffering, depression, discouragement, or even experiencing tragedies of life. What a happy time that will be. Imagine, the only tears that we will have are tears of joy. What about those of us that are dealing with pain or discomfort? That will be a thing of the past. And if we continue in verse 5 of Revelation 21, notice how Jehovah wants us to believe his promise of a righteous new world. Right after describing the blessings to come, he says, "Look, I am making all things new." And then he adds, "These words are faithful and true." But we may be asking ourselves, well, this scripture is so encouraging. It's so promising. But what can I do in the meantime to help me deal with my problems and my current situation? Well, there is something that we can do to cope. We need to keep spiritually strong, and we need to continue to exercise full trust and faith in Jehovah God and his promises. Now is the time for us to exercise full trust in Jehovah and in his word, the Bible. Never before in human history has there been a greater need for humans to show that they love Jehovah and they trust him. Why? Well, the Bible describes a time that we are currently living in. Would you not all agree that we are living in times that are hard to deal with? Well, let's read about these conditions that were foretold at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 reads, "But know this, that in the last days, critical times hard to deal with will be here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, disloyal, having no natural affection, not open to any agreement, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, without love of goodness, betrayers, headstrong, puffed up with pride, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness, but proving false to its power, and from these turn away." Paul surely described our day here, didn't he? Well, through a study of God's word, we know that we are living deep in the final part of these wicked system of things. And as we just read in 2 Timothy, they're indeed critical times, hard to deal with, aren't they? Without a doubt, the primary source of consolation is our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Apostle Paul refers to Jehovah as the God of all comfort. To comfort means to soothe someone who is in distress or who is worrying. This is done by easing his misery or grief and bringing him consolation. Well, we know that Jehovah certainly does this, doesn't he? He's not limited by anything or anyone, and therefore has at his disposal whatever means are needed to provide comfort to those that he loves. And even so, we can be assured that Jehovah will not leave us alone in dealing with our trials. And here the scripture at 2 Corinthians tells us that Jehovah is the Father of tender mercies. And the Greek word rendered tender mercies can convey the idea of feeling compassion for the suffering of others. And one Bible reference says that this term maybe renders feels pity or cares very much. So our being comforted depends on our putting our trust in Jehovah's promises and availing ourselves of his provisions. And regardless of our circumstances, Jehovah God invites all of us to put our trust in him and his arrangement through the ransom sacrifice of Jesus. The value of Jesus' shed blood covers all of our sins if we are truly repentant. And it helps us now to ensure that we have a clean conscience and a good relationship with Jehovah. The ransom sacrifice is the basis for surviving Armageddon and receiving life in God's new world. And as we discussed earlier, we are helped to endure by looking forward to the fulfillment of Bible prophecies, like the wonderful hope that we just read about at Revelation 21, 3 and 4, along with other developments that will bring great relief to humankind. Now, what role does prayer have with regards to trusting in Jehovah? Well, please turn with me to Luke chapter 11, 9 to 13 to see what Jesus urged us to do. Luke 11, 9 reads, "So I say to you, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find it. Keep on knocking and it will be open to you. For everyone asking receives. And everyone seeking finds, and to everyone knocking it will be open. Indeed, which father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he also asks for an egg, will hand him a scorpion? Therefore, if you, although being wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will the Father in heaven give Holy Spirit to those asking him?" Here Jesus is urging us to keep on asking. This indicates a heartfelt desire and is a display of faith. Jesus himself, the perfect Son of God, prayed continuously to his Father when he was here on earth to ask for help to maintain his integrity so that he could fulfill his assignment here on earth. And as brought out in verse 9, Jesus there is encouraging us to keep on asking. keep on seeking, keep on knocking to Jehovah for strength, for guidance, and for help. And what does the scripture say? That he will answer our prayer and that he will help us through any trial. And we can be fully confident that Jehovah will hear our prayers and he will help us with any trial that we are faced with. But we might ask, well, how much suffering can a Christian endure? Well, today Christians around the world are enduring. And rather than removing the trial, Jehovah God may choose to give us the power beyond what is normal so that we can endure. But how can we be sure of that? Well, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 reads, however, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the power beyond what is normal may be God's and not from us. We are hard-pressed in every way, but not cramped beyond movement. We are perplexed, but not absolutely with no way out. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are knocked down, but not destroyed. And we have many examples of our brothers and sisters that were hard-pressed in every way, that were persecuted, that were knocked down, but as brought out in the scripture, they were not cramped beyond movement. They were not abandoned. One example is that of our brothers and sisters that lived through the Nazi regime during World War II. The book, The Bible Students in Nazism, says this about the Jehovah's Witnesses that were in the camps. Despite all of the beatings, threats, and bans, despite the public humiliations, the imprisonments, and detention in concentration camps, the Bible students never allowed themselves to be re-educated. So just as these brothers and sisters set a fine example of loyalty and endurance and maintaining their joy in serving Jehovah, we have so many examples right here in our own congregation, don't we? We know that many of us are dealing with many challenges, yet with Jehovah's strength and confidence, we can continue to joyously serve him under whatever circumstance we're dealing with. And whatever God permits, we can cope by fully trusting in him, knowing that eventually he will bring an end to all the badness that we know today. And also Jehovah has kindly provided his visible organization for us, who provides us with lots of timely reminders. And we have our weekly meetings here at the Kingdom Hall, our field ministry, our monthly JW broadcasts, building talks from the governing body and their helpers. And from the beginning of the pandemic, we have had a continual flow of spiritual food and encouragement. And especially during the pandemic, we've come to appreciate the importance of heeding direction that the faithful slave provides to us. The Apostle Peter wrote about the importance of heeding spiritual reminders. In 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, he reminded the early Christians of this. Please turn with me there at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter 3, 1 reads, beloved ones, this is now the second letter I'm writing you, in which, as in my first one, I am stirring up your clear thinking faculties by way of a reminder that you should remember the sayings previously spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. So Peter here had a real concern and had a basis for highlighting his concern. He saw a need to remember the sayings previously spoken by the holy prophets. And we too play a big part in helping comfort others by imitating Jehovah's qualities. We can all support each other in dealing with current conditions. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says that we may be able to comfort others in any sort of trial with the comfort we receive from God. We have one such experience from a full-time minister in Zaire who lost her husband in death. She said the following about how she can encourage others. The Pioneer Service was a real comfort to me after the loss of my dear husband. The more I go out in service to help others, the less I feel the tragic loss. I put my faith in Jehovah's promises, and I think mostly of how I can help the ones with whom I am studying to make changes in their lives. At the end of the day, my sleep is sweet and my heart is full of joy. So how true that we receive much joy when we're helping others, especially in the ministry. And we can also comfort those who have lost loved ones by sharing the wonderful resurrection hope found in John 5:28 and 29. And We can continue to give comfort to the sick, speak consolingly to the depressed ones and lonely ones. And we want to assure them that Jehovah is tender in mercy, and he doesn't forget their faithful service. This can be found at Hebrews 6:10. Please turn with me there. Hebrews 6:10 reads, "For God is not unrighteous so as to forget your work and the love you showed for his name by ministering and continue to minister to the holy ones." Isn't it interesting how Jehovah would consider it unrighteous on his part if he were to show a lack of appreciation? What makes this Bible statement remarkable is that Jehovah shows appreciation for devoted people, even though they are sinners. So we can be confident that Jehovah appreciates all that we do for him. And when helping others, we have so many wonderful tools at our disposal. We have the many videos on our JW Library Toolbox app, tracks, brochures. We also have an abundance of encouraging articles on jw.org that we can use when sharing encouragement. And Jehovah knows we're imperfect. He won't ask more of us than we can give. Let's recall David's words recorded Psalm 55:22 together. Psalm 55:22. reads, "Throw your burden on Jehovah and he will sustain you. Never will he allow the righteous one to fall." When David wrote these words, he was in great distress. But even under those distressing circumstances, David continued to put his trust in Jehovah, and he was not disappointed. And just like David, we too want to cultivate a wholehearted trust in Jehovah God. We can be confident that he will help us through any difficult situation that we are facing on this side of Armageddon. But how can we be absolutely sure that Jehovah cares about each and every one of us? Please turn with me to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to find out. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There it reads, "Trust in Jehovah with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, take notice of him, and he will make your paths straight." We have the privilege and joy of walking with Jehovah and being confident, as the scripture pointed out, that he will make our path straight, as he did for God-fearing examples in the past. So from our study of the Bible today, we can conclude that Jehovah does comfort those who trust in him. And he's given us abundance evidence to show that love for us. John 3:16 tells us that "for God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, so that everyone exercising faith in him might not be destroyed, but have everlasting life." Jehovah's promises will soon be realized through Christ. We never want to underestimate the value and the power of the ransom sacrifice. So let's continue to develop a close and personal relationship with Jehovah by exercising faith in the ransom sacrifice, his inspired word, and by persisting in prayer, because Jehovah is the hearer of prayer. And we want to imitate Jehovah and Jesus by reaching out and comforting others with the scriptural hope of God's kingdom. And we want to appreciate our brothers and sisters throughout the earth, because they too are going through similar trials that we are going through. Friends, we can endure if we fully trust in Jehovah and apply Bible principles in our lives. Please turn with me to our final scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 reads, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time, while you throw all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." So by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we acknowledge our lowly position. In turn, this will help us to cope with whatever God permits. And we may yearn for immediate relief, but let's trust in Jehovah, because he knows when and how to act on our behalf. So let's not give up. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the beautiful paradise that lies just ahead and all the wonderful promises that the kingdom will bring soon upon mankind. And let's continue to rejoice in it. By putting our full trust in Jehovah, we can be assured of his loving care, because he is the God of all comfort.